hello, six pack of confidence. Been so many nights since we first met. Glad to see you brought all your friends for another night of Plastic Cup Politics.
I even have it like sexy in here. I lit a candle and everything.
We're getting all intimate and shit.
Just did my laundry. My sheets are clean. So yeah, everything has to be good on this episode of Plastic Cup Politics Podcast. How you like that for a cold open? Why not? Hey, this is the preeminent, all those words that start with a P podcast for Arizona when it comes to drinking and politics. So welcome to Plastic Cup Politics Podcast. At Plastic Cup Pod is the best way to interact with the show. I am Mark LaRue. He is Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD. That PhD is in political science, which is why we have the show. And I guess I brought in the beer knowledge, the booze. So that's how we get this. And I had a lot of questions about politics. Sean and I used to talk a whole lot. He paid a lot of money for an education. So we're giving this to you for free. No, even we don't even have any advertisements. But if you know of anybody, I need money. But anyway, moving straight along from that, we got a little bit of local stuff to talk about. And then we got some Sean's going to take a victory lap, I think. And we'll talk about some of the things on the national stage, the presidential election coming up quickly. But before we do that, I will say, Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, how you doing? What are you having?
I'm doing well. Had this on the show before, but it's 21st Amendment Brewery, Blood Orange IPA. Yeah, it's delicious. Not a whole lot of bitterness. You can really taste the blood oranges. It's very crisp. I like it. It's delicious. And I'm going to switch to others. I got an assortment for tonight's show.
Ah, very nice. I just noticed that King's is right by your house, too. Another liquor store that I have not been to yet. But I drove by it. It's on Central, and I'm going to stop by there. And if they're awesome, then I will give you a recommendation for you to grab some stuff. I am still working through cans that I got from the Casual Pint, and I'm drinking the a Decadent Delight. It's a collab between Evil Twin Brewing and Decadent Ales. So Evil Twin, we've discussed them before. Two brothers that hate each other. I think they're Dutch. They didn't have breweries. They just would do collaborations with other people and have the beers brewed at their location. I think they do actually have a brewery now. Anyway, yada, yada, yada. It is a very dark stout. I'm getting a little, it's definitely boozy, and I'm definitely getting a little cinnamon out of there. It's, not necessarily the thing you think about drinking on a Sunday night, August 23rd, when it's 113 degrees outside in Phoenix, Arizona. But, I power through these things, and it is if you are a stout person, I think you should probably, if you see it, look it up, or if you see it, it has like a blue can, Decadent Delight. If you're a stout person, I think you will enjoy it. And all I have to do to get into the actual show is say one thing, and if you were a Diamondbacks fan from when the Diamondbacks started until about 2005, you will understand this from watching television. Boy, oh boy. Tom Brenneman, who was the voice of the Diamondbacks when they started, their TV voice, his father used to do games for the Reds, and so Tom is working with the Reds right now. He works for Fox Sports. He's done a bunch of college football stuff. He was kind of a big deal until they came back from commercial break, and into a hot mic he dropped a very hot F-bomb on air, and then started to profusely apologize, as he should do. Then there was a home run, and then he continued to apologize, and then they jerked him off air in the middle of the game. And so, this is a guy that I've listened to for a long time. Apologize all you want. Actually, I'm just going to kind of give you my take, and then I'll let Sean say if he has anything else to go about it, which is, in my younger days, I threw around the F-bomb. Not the fuck F-bomb, but the F-bomb that we don't talk about. Like, that's when you know that you're not supposed to say fuck, but you don't use this other F-word anymore. But I used that word way too many times in my youth, and I'm sure that Sean has used that word way too many times in the past. But we don't anymore, and it was a very casual use of the word, like it's something that's in his diction. And so I think that that's kind of when we're dealing with like this cancel culture kind of a thing. Like, no. I don't think that it slipped out. It slipped out on air. Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD. Boy, oh boy. What are you?
Boy, oh boy. Let me state up front that like I get a little bit of the trepidation that people are beginning to feel about these sort of waves of outrage we see on the internet and some of the real world damage those waves of outrage can do. I don't think this is in any way an example of that. And I also like the entire idea of coining it as a thing and calling it cancel culture, and it's now been like pretty thoroughly co-opted by the far right as sort of shorthand for, hey, look at how all these liberals are nuts and want to implement thought control.
Not necessarily by the far right. We can just say by the right when the president is coming out and talking about cancel culture. We can just say that the GOP is focusing on that.
Yeah, it's a fabrication, right? We've seen some examples where you could definitely make the argument that things had gone a little too far in terms of the consequences that people experienced. Relative to whatever their perceived infraction was. There was a young woman who made like some insensitive jokes about AIDS in Africa as she was getting on a plane. And by the time she landed in Africa, her life had been absolutely torn to pieces. That one in particular sticks in my memory as one that kind of felt a little gross. Like, yeah, it was a shit joke. But I don't necessarily know that she should be losing her job and having her life torn to pieces for it, right? This isn't that. That was a really meandering way to sort of demonstrate the alternative so in Brenneman's case, the weirdness of the logic that he's employing here is sort of the most stunning part, right? Because it is an absolute inversion. The story that Brenneman is trying to get everyone to buy, right, is that statement, that word doesn't represent who he really is. It slipped out, but that's not really me. And I'm sure there are all these people out there who will support me in saying that's not really me. So what he's saying then is that the only time he is authentic is when the camera is pointed at him. Right? Everything that happens when he believes himself to be off camera, that's the act. That's the logic you have to believe Brenneman's story, that this was an utterance under duress. It doesn't represent who he is. He doesn't normally talk this way. Bullshit. Bullshit, right? Like the squeaky clean guy on camera is the act. We all know this to be true, right? So the problem here, and I think the reason that GLAAD called him out so quickly for this non-apology is because of that bullshit logic and what it implies. And that somehow, we should expect anything less than sort of a full admission, you know. So earlier this evening, I said something that I have said many times before, but this time I got caught because my mic was on and I didn't know it. What I said is representative of who I am inside, and being confronted with that has made me deeply ashamed of my bigotry and the pain I must have caused many people over the years. Right? So this is like, that is in our present day and age, these mealy-mouthed like non-apologies just aren't going to cut it anymore. If what you're trying to do is avoid having your career blown to smithereens, trying to pretend that you don't have work to do inside to fix this isn't going to cut it. right? Making statements like, I've read a lot today about how hurtful that word is and how much pain it's caused. Wait, what the? Get the fuck out of here. There is absolutely no way that you didn't know that that word was hurtful and would cause people pain if they were to hear you say it that way.
100%. Like, no, we all know. We all know you don't say that anymore. And I'm sorry that if you might have had a homosexual on the staff that just decided to give you a hot mic a little early, so be it. Like, it just seems like that was my
wait. Are people point. Are people saying that's a thing?
Yeah, I am. I just did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
A friend and I were discussing this whole thing, and we were discussing how, like, oh, maybe it's like somebody. We're discussing how we would love it if there was somebody on staff that just heard one too many gay jokes when the during commercial breaks. That just, yeah, Tom, we're going to be back in 30, and come back in 20.
Yeah.
Because they know that he's going to do something, but Hashtag start a rumor at Plastic Cup Politics. How about that? But that was my whole thing about it. Like, if somebody like went through and they found some old reels from when he was with the Diamondbacks from 98 to 2006 and him saying some things, you know what? We don't need to go. I am not for diving into people's past to look for small things. And I know this is, we're discussing a total slippery slope here, but you know, like, especially with like comedians, you listen to old Eddie Murphy routines, like,
oh yeah,
like the first, like Eddie Murphy Delirious,
sure,
you try to listen to the first 5 minutes and not just cringe a little bit, like, oh yeah, I remember when I thought this was funny and it's just all a giant gay bashing joke.
Oh yeah.
But no.
two of his biggest specials, that's all it was.
And we're talking about, no, this was like 3 or 4 nights ago from our recording here on August 23rd, 2020. I'm trying to make I can get that in there every once in a while. That was my whole thing about it. It was just, if you're dropping that at work, once again, you're also at work.
Yeah.
And in a male-driven field like the brewing industry, you get looked at. Because guess what? We had one of our listeners is gay, who worked for the brewery with me. Like, it's just not fucking cool. Oh, he was also a former sports writer, I believe. So I'm sure that he has lots of thoughts on this. Hey, Sean, if you want to be on the podcast, feel free to hit me up. You still got my email. You still have my phone number. But it's just the naturalness of him dropping it in there that I just don't buy anything. And hopefully he can get his shit together, go on a nice Brockmire tour. If you haven't watched the TV show Brockmire with Hank Azaria, it's worth a watch. He plays a baseball announcer who got caught on a hot mic, or actually went on a big diatribe. So watch Brockmire. See what Tom Brenneman's going to be up to.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's ultimately going to have to actually own it before he's going to be able to move on from it. But yeah, I mean, it's there'll be a mea culpa tour, and you know, hopefully he'll be able to continue. Hopefully he'll be able to learn and grow from it, and then continue his career in some way, shape, or form.
Agreed, more or less. So Tom Brenneman was an announcer. This is going to be the worst segue ever. Diamondbacks, when they won the World Series with Curt Schilling. Schilling, who was part of a company to privately finance building the wall with Steve Bannon. And Steve Bannon was just arrested. And I think that Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, will probably throw up a cheers on that one. And hey, man, what's going on with Steve Bannon, who barely knows the president.
Yes, barely knows him. Have no idea really who he is. Spent no time with the man. I haven't talked to him in years. That one actually has been said in the last 24 hours. Dude, so it's so great. It is the very definition of a conspiracy of dunces You know, everyone from top to bottom on this one is a fucking moron. The chief legal counsel for the Build the Wall Incorporated organization, nonprofit organization, is Chris Kobach, the guy who just lost the Senate primary in Kansas.
After losing the governor's race in Kansas, so that's why there is a Democrat governor, I should say, in Kansas, is because Chris Kobach is such a fuckhead.
We may have already gotten to the point where Democrat or Democratic, they're both accurate at this point. They both represent a contrast with the alternative, which is no longer Democratic, which sucks to have to say, but it sure seems that way. So motherfucking Steve Bannon, they decide to, he signs on, after this thing had already been started up. So some dude whose name I can't recall, and fuck it, I don't really want to give him any airtime anyway, the guy's a douchebag. He was a veteran, he served in Iraq, I think he was involved in an incident with an IED. He lost some limbs. He came home, got sort of tangentially involved in politics, conservative politics. He's very excited about border security. And so he decides to start a GoFundMe page to raise money from private citizens to build the wall.
Trump's yeah, wall. If you, you'll probably remember this from your uncle's Facebook page.
Yeah, that's where you'll remember it from.
By the way, Sean was just taking a drink right there, and I would just like to say that when I said cinnamony, yes, there is cinnamon in this Decadent Delight from Evil Twin and Decadent Brewing. And when I said, oh, and it tastes real boozy, yeah, I was right. It's 11.7% alcohol. So also got a little pistachio in there. I can't really find the pistachio, but I'll trust it. I'll trust him that it's in there.
I like pistachio.
I do too. I wonder if it gives it that mouthfeel. Like, it could also be the alcohol, but it kind of has. That's what I like sometimes from like beers that actually use nuts is that you get a little bit of that nut oil and that it kind of gives you a little mouthfeel, a little greasiness, which isn't a bad thing. Ooh! I see a beer from one of my favorite breweries, Oscar Blues, going into. Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD's glass.
Oscar Blues, Dale's Pale Ale, which I'm just going to pretend refers to Dale from Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I think I've had this one before. I've also had this one on the show before, and it's yummy. I love it. That's why I grabbed another can.
I can tell you a very, very quick story about the bar I worked at in Chicago headquarters. We had to do beer training in order to get shifts, and we were tested on these things, and that's how your shifts kind of came down. And so we were discussing pale ales and IPAs. So, of course, my question is, what is the difference between a pale ale and IPA? And according to their book, a IPA is going to be above 6% alcohol and a pale ale is going to be below 6% alcohol, to which my question is, we sell Dale's Pale Ale, which is 6.5% alcohol. Should I be selling that as an IPA? And then we also have Founders All Day IPA, which is 4.5% alcohol. Should I be selling that as a pale ale? And then I blew their minds, and then we're going to move away from that. We're going to keep talking about Steve motherfucking Bannon, and we're talking about the Build the Wall, because you're going to remember the Build the Wall, because, yes, there was like a GoFundMe, because everybody's, you know, your grandfather and your that aunt that's just a little kind of has too many cats. They were all discussing about how they should just publicly fund building a wall if Congress isn't going to do something and prevent these illegals from coming over this border. Dr. Yes. Sean Hayes, PhD.
They raised $25 million to build the wall. To date, they've constructed 5 miles of a little less than 5 miles of wall, significant portions of which are threatening already to fall over into the Rio Grande because they built it immediately on the bank of the Rio Grande, which is where everyone told them not to build it because actual engineers who know what they're doing said, well, you're going to get runoff there. If you disturb that soil, the runoff is going to blow it out into the Rio Grande, erode the bank under your wall, which will eventually fall over into the river, which is exactly what it's threatening to do now, which I find to be goddamn hilarious. But it's important to note is that they also made promises on their GoFundMe page and their website and yada yada, and they have made dozens of public representations to this fact, that they wouldn't take any salaries, no compensation. Every dollar donated would go toward operational costs for building the wall. And then they proceeded to take some motherfucking salaries. Mr. Iraq War veteran took around $350,000 that we know of thus far, bought himself a luxury SUV, some vacations, all sorts of fun stuff. Our friend Mr. Bannon took a cool million, paid off a bunch of debts, got a weight off of his shoulders.
Bought some new clothes. Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, by new, we mean he rather ghoulishly purchased some of Christopher Hitchens's remaindered clothes after his untimely death. They both dress in ridiculously rumpled clothing for people who can afford to dress better. Was the point of that terrible joke. They got caught. And they got caught in really sort of absurdly easy ways. They left behind a trail of text messages and other communications, electronic communications, one of which even just comes right out and says to the others in this conspiracy, there were like four or five people, we can never talk about any of this, indicating, you know, pretty clearly that they knew what they were doing was illegal. As well as immoral, but we all knew that they didn't give a shit about that. So they were taking this money that was supposed to be going to build this wall. And while they were at it, they were building a ridiculous wall that has now become a sort of anti-Trump prop in the current election. And they got caught. And when they arrested Bannon, they arrested him while he was on a yacht off the coast of Connecticut. And the yacht is owned by a Chinese billionaire who is himself a fugitive from Chinese authorities. it's so great. The whole thing is so amazing. What is it, a greater hive of scum and villainy. Every time you think you have sort of turned the corner on the degree, on the ability of, current or former members of the Trump administration or regime to do embarrassingly illegal things like Wile E. Coyote type schemes, they find a way to surprise you. Man, I did not see this coming. We knew that there were other people who were being focused on by the Southern District of New York and that they were related to, you know, the inquiry sort of generally surrounding the finances of all of these people. It's also partially why they have that Turkish bank under investigation. It's why the president tried to fire the chief prosecutor from the Southern District of New York. So anyway, they're involved in this. And so some of their cops, because the SDNY has like it's sort of its own enforcement folks, postal inspectors were ferried out to the yacht by the Coast Guard, which then boarded the yacht, and they arrested Bannon. Again, just like a cartoon caricature of a villain. It's just it couldn't be any more sort of richly. It can't be irony. Right, because it's literally what everyone said all along was happening. This is just the public proof of it.
Sailing takes me away. Sir, you are under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can or will be held against you in a court of law. Yeah, really nice, you know? Like, how well you do in prison in fucking deck shoes?
Well, it depends on what kind of prison they ultimately end up sending Bannon to. You know, you can tell that the Trump administration has already decided that they're going to have to cut him loose. Because immediately Trump started doing the, I don't know the guy all that well, haven't talked to him in years. Never really knew him all that well. Oh, and this whole build the wall thing, we build the wall thing, I always thought it was kind of a scam. Never liked the whole idea. Meanwhile, his son, Don Jr., at one point publicly promoted the wall project and called it a private enterprise at its best. Here's Daddy Donnie telling the world suddenly he hated the whole thing all along. It's all so tawdry, I think, is why I can't laugh more genuinely at the whole thing.
So where do you think they're going to arrest Donald Trump for his tax evasion?
Oh, God. I wish.
Or I don't. I don't really know whether I do or do not wish. I mean, at least if he's in prison, he can't tweet.
The Supreme Court had previously ruled, as we sort of celebrated on this show, that no one is above the law. The president's lawyers had made the argument to the court that the president was immune from investigation while in office. Immune from investigation and prosecution, right? But the DOJ had already made a rule, an internal rule, that they wouldn't prosecute a sitting president. That the remedy for that should be impeachment. Okay, the Trump administration made this novel argument that that what that actually meant was that they were immune from not only prosecution in sort of these specific instances, but they were immune from prosecution and investigation generally. And the court went by 7-2, right? So, you know, it picked up several conservative votes. The court went, hell no. No, you're not. No citizen, no matter how high or low, is above or absolved from the responsibility to produce evidence when subpoenaed by a court of law. End of story. But you can, of course, go back to the original trial judge and try another argument if you want to. And that little bit of sort of trickery on the part of the Roberts court is exactly what Trump then did. His lawyers went back to the original trial judge and said, the subpoena is overbroad. It's a fishing expedition. And it's also not offered in good faith because it's just a carbon copy of one that was produced by the Democrats in Congress. So I believe they explicitly say that it was issued in a fit of pique. And of course, the trial judge said, that's nonsense. All of it. It's absurd. The whole thing is ridiculous. No, you have to turn over the documents. That ruling has been stayed while the Trump administration appeals. The ruling is likely to be upheld on appeal. It will then probably get appealed again to the Supreme Court, which will, in all likelihood, still uphold it. Which means eventually the tax returns will get turned over to Cyrus Vance in New York. Mr. Vance will use them as a part of his presentation to the grand jury. If charges are eventually brought that rely on those tax returns as evidence, and those tax returns are then admitted in a court of law, they will become a matter of public record, and then we will all have access to them. That is A, unlikely still, and B, almost certainly going to take place long after the election is already over. So the tax returns themselves are not going to play a role. However, what could happen is they could fast track the appeal and then the subsequent appeal to the Supreme Court, get those rulings over and done with as quickly as possible, and then the tax returns get turned over to Vance prior to the election. Vance gets them in front of a grand jury and then very shortly thereafter issues a bunch of sealed indictments. That would be a very clear signal to the voters that there was something in those tax returns that was illegal. That is also extremely unlikely for a bunch of different reasons. So while it is a hopeful step that the courts have continued to sort of rebuke the president's attempts to sort of assert blanket immunity from investigation, it still doesn't mean that we're going to have his tax returns before November 3rd.
Wah, wah. I mean, that's not even a wah-wah. That's a, and yeah, we knew that. Like, I knew that shit wasn't going to happen. Like, you're like, ooh, we're going to get the taxes. Nah, we're not. Like, I suspect that some point in time in my life that I may, I was going to say, I don't think I'm going to have the same haircut, but yeah, I'll probably have the same haircut.
Well, look, you know, so it doesn't take a great leap of imagination to know what's in those tax returns. And it's very, there's a strong possibility that none of it is really criminal. It's just embarrassing. It would be personally and politically embarrassing to Donald Trump. He's probably heavily in debt. A lot of that debt is probably held by Russian banks or private Russian financiers. Because he can't find a whole lot, he can't find very many institutions in the West anymore that will lend to him because of his serial bankruptcies, all of which could ultimately turn out to be on the up and up. Or, you know, if there are infractions, they're so minor, they're not really worth charging. But it would be incredibly embarrassing to Donald Trump and his regime.
I totally get that. If it's, you know, going to be used to find a bigger crime, which I think is what they're looking at, especially campaign finance violations and stuff like that, that the taxes will become an issue into that. That's what I mean, like, I kind of want to see him because of exactly what you're saying, that the embarrassment of it. But that's why I'm not real worried. I'm not like, we need to see them right now. Yeah. It's, yeah, we're not going to see them. Like, that part of the fairy tale, the fairy part of the fairy tale where it drives voters in to the left. No, that's not going to happen before this election. But yeah, I would like for them to get to the bottom of the campaign finance type things, which this is a part of. And yeah, maybe, just maybe, some of my friends I would also like to show his tax returns to. I would also like to gloat over them. And you know what? I can do that forever. That timeline is infinity. I think there might be statutes of limitations on other things.
Well, and I mean, that's the very real concern about all the stalling, is that they're actually trying to hit the statute of limitations on some of these crimes. So basically trying to give themselves backdoor immunity. Aside, apart from just the political implications, the argument that the DA in New York is making, and it's a sound argument, is that what this actually is an attempt to secure immunity by other means.
Dr. Sean Hayes seems to be switching beers. What are we moving on to?
This is from Hop Valley Brewing Company.
And okay. It is
Cryo Stash Imperial India Pale Ale.
Imperial IPA. So that, I'm assuming, is going to be in the double IPA kind of a situation. Hopefully you're looking at about 8% right there. Speaking of beers, my good friend Jen with two N's, I agreed to watch her dog, so she brought me over a growler from Lacubre. Yeah, I mean, you guys probably know it better than I do. They're out of New Mexico. Their IPA, it was very nice. The thing about growlers is you have to drink them pretty fast or they go bad. And so, you know, the next morning I wake up, I don't have a job. I don't want that growler to go bad. So my morning ritual is I will listen to Up First, the NPR podcast, like 14 minutes long. It's in the mornings. I highly recommend it. Not a sponsor. And eat my breakfast out on the front porch. And so before I had my breakfast on the front porch, I polished off that growler. And they were talking about what was going on in Belarus and about the elections in Belarus. And about how the people are rising up because their leader, and Sean's going to do the great thing about filling in names here. Their leader, the president, was elected for the unprecedented. He's been in power for 28 years, and everybody's going, no, dude, like, seriously, we all know nobody voted for you. No, seriously, you need to fuck off. My whole take on this was in my kind of feeling good in the morning stupor, was I think that this is a thing where Biden can really say something and really put his foreign policy on display against Donald Trump, who has no foreign policy. Because right now it seems to be Russia backing Belarus, and it seems to be the EU and NATO that are backing the people of Belarus. Because, by the way, Belarus is this little buffer zone between the EU and Russia. I would really like to hear what Biden has to say about it. And I have seen, I think it was in Medium. I think Medium is a magazine or a online publication that is not about like reading people's minds or talking to the dead as it sounds. It is a political publication or something like that. But I read, because I really wanted to know, like, that's what my drunk mind went to. It's like, I wonder what Joe Biden has to say about this. And he says something and he says like, yeah, free and fair elections are basically the benchmark of any democracy. I'm for them. And you should worry for people that want to stand in the way of free and fair elections. Hmm. I really think this is an issue that Joe Biden can bring up, like in a way of not bringing us to war, but in a way of making Donald Trump side either with Vladimir Putin or the people who we hope to have as allies once again in the very near future.
And that's the great part, right? Is it's an easy one to hammer them on because no one can seriously make the argument that you are trying to get us to go to war with Russia. Donald Trump has tried to make that argument to his followers in the past that you know, the Democrats want to take us to war with Russia. It's laughable. And it would be equally laughable in this case, because everyone, it is common knowledge to all astute individuals of goodwill that there is not a chance in hell that starts their war over Belarus. If in the end Belarus goes let's be honest, as it is most likely to go, it is more likely than not that Lukashenko is going to stay in power. That's his name, Alexander G. Lukashenko. No one is going to invade. There's not going to be any military response, and everyone knows it. So what's happening right now is both sides are frantically trying to offer Lukashenko things. Right. So on the Russian side, they are trying to offer him support for as long as he stays, in a much more quiet way, offering to get him out if things go badly, you know, so he has an insurance policy. And on the other side, some folks who represent NATO countries are offering Belarus greater closer ties. You know, they're offering him a way out now. Right. So they're basically offering Lukashenko an opportunity to sort of skip town and live out his golden years, enjoying his ill-gotten gains somewhere else.
Not a bad gig. I would take that gig.
Not a terrible gig. And to the people that they're actually trying to convince, right, which are the generals ostensibly under Lukashenko, but who control the actual trigger pullers. You know, they're trying to convince them that there will be economic benefits with closer ties to the West. And it's just a matter of what balance of forces in Belarus ends up believing which inducements is ultimately what will decide how things play out on the ground.
I just really want to force Donald Trump's hand into saying something or doing something to see where he backs. Because you know what? Even if we back him into a corner and he sides with the EU and NATO, oh my goodness, guess what? Best case scenario, he sides with the fucking EU and NATO once again and gets back a little bit, some respect in the area. But it just because I want to see him not side with Russia one time, just once.
The sad part is, though, Mark, is that he has already in the past expressed admiration for Lukashenko and for the powers that he's sort of evolved or devolved onto himself.
Agreed. It's an election year. Come on. Just if you're going to do something to get yourself reelected, like we know that's all you want to do is to get yourself reelected, at least make some of those things fucking better for the world.
I don't think it's in his nature to do so, Mark. I don't think he can. I don't think he would know how, even if he were so inclined, because he's never had to. In the same way that he's never had to face consequences, he's never had to do the right thing ever in his life. I don't know if he would know how to find his way there.
I will say that's why you guys listen to Plastic Cup Politics podcast, is because we differ in opinions, and I think that President Donald J. Trump does do the right thing from time to time, but it has to be in his own self-interest, and that's the only time when it happens, but that's where we differ, my friend.
But we're not really differing.
I know we're not.
Because what you said is just, is literally, it's a broken clock that happens to be right twice a day. Right? There's no systematic force at work there that's moving him inexorably towards doing the right thing. It's just every now and again, his self-interest happens to coincide with the right thing to do. That's not something we should ever rely on.
Boy, oh boy. Just explain what I was trying to make as a joke to get out of this goddamn show, but that's all right. And guess what?
Damn it.
That was a good one. And I need to drink more 11.7% beers on this show because, I still don't really get the coconut. There's supposed to be a little coconut in there, but they said that it drinks like rum. And yeah, for having, like, I'm telling you, man, it is a boozy, boozy son of a bitch. Decadent Delight from nice. Evil Twin Brewing and Decadent Brewing. And I'm sure you had a fun time. So however you're listening, go ahead and hit subscribe. If you would like to interact with the show, you can do so at Plastic Cup Pod. If your name is Sean and you happen to run a bar in Cottonwood, Arizona, and you used to work for that brewery, and you would like to come on and talk sports and talk about Tom Brenneman, feel free to do that as well. And thanks, guys.
Later, everybody. Whoa!